Lord, I just pray for this man that you bless him today. Pray you'd let him speak words of wisdom to us, that we would have our ears open to him and to you today, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we just thank you that he's has his ears open to you and has heard from you and has a message and a word from you today, Lord Jesus, that will be great for us to receive. In Jesus' name, bless him, speak through him. Amen.
Mm. Thanks, Keith. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Why don't you just take a quick look around the room? That's what I'd like everyone to do. Let's start by doing that. Just have a look around the room. There'll be faces that you know, faces that you don't know. And when I think about the church, I think about all the faces and all the stories. And I don't know about you, when I look around the room, I see all the giftings, all the talents, all the personalities, all the struggles, the stories, the victories, the careers, the amazing things that different people have done. It's an absolute, such a mix that's just in the room. And I think when I think back about 2015, I think, you know, how have things been for the church? It's a church full of individuals, and I think actually the year has been a real mixed year. I think for some people in our midst, it would have been a fantastic year. And you think, actually, yeah, 2015, that was a great year. Others in our midst would have thought 2015, you know, that was okay, had some good points, some bad points, you know, just kind of cruising. And others, I think, of us will think, actually, you know, 2015, that was a really hard year. And actually, I had to dig really deep that year. And you know, that for me was, you know, 2015. I personally found it a really tough year. And I think as we look forward, I think there's going to be an absolute mix in our midst as well, that some of us are going to have fantastic years and God's going to do amazing stuff. Others of us are going to have tough years, and others will have kind of normal years. And you know what? That's absolutely fine. You know, that's life. It really is life, and God's in the high points, and he's in the low points. He's in the victories, and he's in the struggles. And there's purpose, and there's his presence, and his love, and his commitment to us in it all. And I think it's kind of worth acknowledging that at the beginning, that there is, just the broadness of life just within this very room, let alone, you know, the community. I think, you know, there is new life amongst us. You know, there are new babies. They're not here today, but there are new babies in our congregation, which is fantastic. And in 2016, there will no doubt be people who will be mourning, missed loved ones who aren't with us. There'll be folks who are celebrating new career opportunities and promotions, and others who are just really struggling and stressed out because of possible redundancy and stresses and strains at work, and health goals, people running marathons, and others who may be having real health issues. And, you know, that, like I say, is life. And I just want to say at the beginning of the year that actually, like, wherever you are, it's okay. It's okay in the church to not be okay. Our culture, we celebrate success. You know, we love success. But actually, that can kind of make us at times feel like sometimes it's not okay to be not okay. But it is okay not to be okay. I love this. Thank you, Keith. That's great. It's encouraging. I listened to a TED talk. Put your hands up if you know what TED is. Stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. These great online talks, and there's thousands of them now, and they're just really, really top-notch talks. And there's one which is by a Christian lady. I think she's a Christian who kind of talks to a secular audience, and her name is Brené Brown. And she's basically a social scientist, and she's interviewed thousands of people, and she it's one of the most watched TED Talks. It's had like 22 million views or something. It's a lot. And she did this talk on wholeheartedness. And she said three things which stood out to me. The first was, so this is after interviewing thousands of people and just about their lives and their struggles and what's going on internally with them. And the first thing she said, which stood out to me, is wholehearted people, listen carefully, have the courage to be imperfect. I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and say, in 2016, have the courage to be imperfect. You know, we need one another. We need one another. I found it's a really freeing thing, realizing that actually, you know, you don't have to be a superhuman. You know, I don't need to be a super leader. There's loads of things that I'm not very good at, and I need people. I need people around me to help me and to help me with stuff I'm not very good at. And that's why we need team. We need one another, and it's okay to not be like this super perfect person. Let's be courageous enough to acknowledge the fact that we just don't need to be perfect. The second thing she said, which I thought was really interesting, she said that wholehearted people have the compassion to be kind to themselves first and then kind to others. I'll say it again. The compassion to be kind to themselves first and then kind to others. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, have the compassion to be kind to yourself and kind to others. I've been reading Daniel, the book of Daniel, this Christmas, and Daniel's amazing. He's an absolute dude. I think I'm just going to read it a few times in a row. One of the things I love about Daniel is obviously, like, you know, he's involved in just normal life, and you know, he has these crazy supernatural like visions and encounters, but he was also involved in, like, you know, administration, and he's. That in itself is cool, but another thing which I find, the balance, often supernatural people aren't kind of, you know, grounded. And I really like the fact that kind of God, he seems to be involved in his physical well-being, in his mental well-being, and his spiritual life. It says that, you know, at the very beginning, you know, he's set apart because of his diet and his health. And often in the new year, I kind of think, oh, you know, I've really got to get on my diet. And some people, they're really like health focused people, and you know, there's loads of blogs and, you know, the gym people, you know, they're like all about health. And I think, oh, I need to be more like that. I need to, you know, lose the Christmas pounds or, you know, whatever it is. And then there's all the intellectual people, and often they're like less about the health, and they're just more about, like, you know, I want to read loads of books and be really intelligent and really wise, and like Colin, he's about health. And then there's like the super spiritual people as well, like Colin. Yeah, Colin is super spiritual. And often I kind of feel like I try one and then I like miss out on the other. And often these things can be kind of polarized. You know, either you're really about the intellect, or you're really about the supernatural and encounter, or you're really about, you know, health and, you know, the gym and all that kind of stuff and nutrition. And actually, it says that kind of God, you know, he blessed him in all those areas. And I kind of think, yeah, that's cool. I can do that. I want to do that. I want to try and hold all three in tension: healthy body, healthy mind, and healthy, like, spiritual life. So I like that about Daniel. Anyway, that was a side note. This is on the topic of being kind to yourself. It says in Daniel 7, Daniel's having this vision. It says that the strategy of the enemy in this vision is to wear down the saints. Woo-hoo. So it says in Daniel 7, the strategy is to wear down the saints. And, you know, it seems like in the West, at least, that's kind of a successful strategy. It seems to be working. A lot of saints get worn down a lot. It's worked on me. I've been worn out far too much. So this year, I want to work hard at not being worn down. I don't want that strategy to work on me. I don't want to be a worn down saint. I want to have the compassion to be kind to myself and kind, so I can be kind to others sustainably and long term, in the knowledge that as I'm kind to others, they will become more open to receiving the kindness of God. So how am I going to be kind to myself in 2016? Well, two things I'm doing is, firstly, I've signed up to a mountain leader course. It just means basically I can take people like hiking and stuff and adventuring in the hills and camping. The second thing I'm doing, this is initiated by my wife, is I'm learning salsa. Yeah. We're having salsa lessons. So, I'd like you to discuss with the person next to you, just for a couple of minutes, how could you look at being kind to yourself this year? What does that look like for you, being kind to yourself? Okay, so the first thing that wholehearted people have is the courage to be imperfect. The second thing is the compassion to be kind to yourself and then kind to others. And the third thing, according to Brené Brown, that wholehearted people have, is the courage to be vulnerable. So turn to the person next to you and say, you have the courage to be vulnerable, the power of vulnerability. A few years ago, I had this vision. And in the vision, I saw this picture of all these people, and they were doing this dance. And as they were doing this, it was a weird dance, and the purpose of the dance was just to show other people their front. And so they're kind of going in this kind of like weird circle, and they would never ever show all the other people who were doing the dance their backs. And it's kind of a weird picture. In their backs, they all had these hooks in their backs, and they were kind of like, it's like digging into the flesh, and like there was kind of these like dark beings like pulling on the hooks. And I kind of thought, this is like some weird toxic dance, and everyone like had hooks in their backs, but no one was showing anyone else that they had hooks in their backs. Then Jesus rides into this scene, and it's like proper cliche. He's like riding, it's like Revelation, riding a white horse, radiating like purity, power, love and might and stuff. And in the vision, there's other stuff happening as well, but with regards to this scene, basically people could have the choice either to become transparent or to remain the same. And as the ones who became transparent, Jesus' light started to shine through them and the hooks started to fall out. And then the dance changed, and those people who became transparent, they started doing this like crazy dance of just twirling, and just there was freedom came. And I kind of just felt like it was just around basically the power of being real, the power of transparency before God and within community. That's what I had this in this vision. And I just want to say, just I think as a church, let's just be real. Let's be like a real community. I know from in my own life, when I pretend and when I try and perform, it's just like, it's seriously not good for my own like mental health. I don't know about you guys. James 5 verse 16 tells us that we're to confess our sins to one another. Why are we to do that? It's the same thing, isn't it? I'm going to hammer home this point. Christianity is not about being perfect people, these like super holy, superhuman, super Christians. It's about being totally flawed, imperfect people who know they need help from Jesus. Who was Jesus a friend of? Yeah, sinners. I love the story of the woman caught in adultery. That's our Jesus. I don't condemn you. Let him who has not sinned cast the first stone. It's beautiful. That's our Jesus. God's not afraid of our sin. He's not afraid of our insecurities, he's not afraid of our dysfunction, he's not afraid of our bad choices, he's not afraid of anything. Our God is a God who holds us. He embraces us. He loves us. He loves us in the macro, and he loves us in the micro, and his love goes into the fine little cracks in our hearts and minds that we don't even know are there. And he loves us. He dignifies us. He was shamed that we could be dignified. And he restores us. And he says to each one of us, Al, he says to you, Jim, he says to you, Luke, Matthew, John, Nikki, Chris, he says to us all, he just says, you're enough. I love you. You're fantastic. And when we let his love into our hearts and minds, it's that which transforms us. And it's that which changes us. Sometimes he doesn't let us stay where we are. But just being vulnerable with God, just letting him love us as we are, it just gets to the root. Chloe and I, we did some training recently for fostering. We're foster parents, and we did 6 weeks on attachment theory. It was taught by some clever PhD counsellors who are really fantastic people. And they had this really interesting phrase, which has stuck with me, which is toxic shame. That shame, this idea of shame is toxic. And often kids who come into care, they're covered, they're kind of, they wear this shroud of shame, and it's toxic. You know, it eats away at their psyche, it eats away at their bones. It's just, there's something about shame which just is horrific. And I don't know if you've experienced that. I've definitely had experienced shame in my life, and it's toxic. It's awful. And guys, it's not from God. No way. And, and basically, you know, they tell us, guys, your job is to love it out of them. Your job is to love that out of them. And whatever they do, no matter what they think about themselves, your job is to love that toxic shame out of them. And that's what God wants to do to each one of us. And that's what God wants. And we are to be that to one another, and we are to be that to everyone that we meet. Let's be a church which eradicates toxic shame by embracing, by accepting, by loving. So, those are three things which I personally found quite, just worth chewing on, worth mulling on. The courage to be imperfect, the courage to be vulnerable, and I missed out the middle one. The compassion to be kind to ourselves, kind to others. If you're daunted in the spirit of being real, if you're daunted by 2016, you're thinking, actually, you know what? I've got some real battles ahead. You know, if in your gut you think 2016, you're not thinking, yay! You're thinking, oh my days, this is going to be tough. For whatever reason, there could be like 100 different reasons, then I'd really love it if you would stand. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having the courage to be vulnerable. Anyone else? Right, now what I'd love the rest of you guys to do is just gather around. And I'd like you to put courage into them. I'd like you to say what you see. I'd like you to prophesy. I'd like you to pray for them. I'd like you to share what you feel like God's saying. And let's just do that now. If you're not praying for anyone right now, then I'd just really like to encourage you just to pray for anyone who the Lord puts on your heart, who you think actually they're going to have a tough 2016. Just lift them up, fight for them in prayer. I'm going to pass over now. But to sum up, let's be real. Let's be real this year. Let's be real with God, real with one another. Let's be a team. I grew up playing football, and you know, some of the best footballers are ones where they know where other footballers are on the pitch. It's not just about them. They're looking around. They're looking out for one another. Let's be real with one another. Let's look out for one another. Yeah, let's be kind to ourselves.